How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Lots of news to talk about here today. I am back after a trip to Hawaii. As my wife noted, when you've got a young child, it's not a vacation, it's a trip. But it was a fun trip. We're back here today with a lot to talk about, including Raw tonight. They are in Knoxville, Tennessee, the home of the future Mayor Kane. Is WWE going to acknowledge that Kane is running for mayor of Knoxville County? We'll find out tonight. He's going to be there. Is he going to be a big babyface? Is he going to be a heel? I guess we'll find out. That's one of the big stories on Raw tonight. Which tells you what an exciting Raw it's going to be, by the way. Also, Roman Reigns versus Jason Jordan has been announced for the show. We'll go over the Raw 5-point preview a little bit later on. Always a fun time, the Raw 5-point preview. Talk about that on the show today, as well as Aero Lucha, the new promotion run by Aerolux, who at one point were part owners of Impact Wrestling. They'll be working with Conan as the booker. This from the front page of WWE.com. They have announced the debut event, the same arena where TNA ran in its early days, the Nashville Fairgrounds, is going to host the December 10th debut of Aero Lucha. We can talk about that. We got the full card for the show, at least thus far, including teaming up together Rey Mysterio and Pentagon, who will be going as Pentagon, to face Rush and John Morrison. That's the main event of the show. Also, if you've been paying attention to the story of Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor, and the story we talked about on Wrestling Observer Radio last week about that match no longer being penciled in as the main event of the Royal Rumble. After all of the promotion that Paul Heyman had done for Finn Balor, WWE ran a poll on their website. Who should be the next to face Brock Lesnar? We'll give you the results when we come back. Interesting. Wrestling Observer Live. We're back on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Very busy day here today, as always. If you want to give us a call, 844-411-5411. That is 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. Before we go any further, first off, thanks, Mike. Holding down the fort when I was gone. Fine job. Second, today, Cyber Monday. I know if you listen to the show on Friday, Mike was talking about the Black Friday sale. One day only, he said. He was not lying, because today is Cyber Monday. That's a different day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did not have an opportunity to grab the 1 month for $3.99 special, this is it. This is the last day.
We're not kidding.
There is no... I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head.
Not playing around with you people.
There's here. No website Wednesday.
No.
There's no...
Thirsty
anyway.
Thursday.
Point of this is, if you go to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com right now,
Fat
or my
Deal
Twitter,
Friday.
You can get a one-month subscription to the website for $3.99. Now, the normal price is $11. So for $3.99, you get unlimited access to everything that you would get for $11. That means the... Someone actually counted them up for me. I can't remember if it was 83 or 87. But there were over 8,000 shows in the archives. You get new shows every single day. There are thousands of editions of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, thousands of editions of Figure Four Weekly. There is the message board, new observers every Wednesday, new radio shows every single day. Even when I was in Hawaii, I did shows virtually every single day there for subscribers. So you can grab all of that for just $3.99. It ends at midnight Eastern. Do you hear me? That's 9 Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
So do not wait around until the last second.
You know, we're not jerking around here, too, and saying, well, it's midnight Pacific time. No, that would mean it's 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. You've missed it by 3 hours.
Yep, it's midnight Eastern, so this is your last chance. I want to thank everybody who has signed up. And once again, I will say, as I always do, if you like this show that you hear free every day, it is a guarantee, like the old days of Vince McMahon, it's a guarantee that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there, grab it while you can, because this is the last day.
Yeah, please do, because I get paid on the house. Please.
Now, on the subject of what we talked about in the opening segment here, the WWE Royal Rumble pay-per-view, the match originally scheduled, penciled in, Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor. I know some people want to think that that was never the match, but it was. And if you want to go to the WWE Network and look back on the old Raw shows, you'll notice that every time Paul Heyman did a promo, even when he was talking about a match like AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar, he would always make sure to throw in Finn Balor's name. Because that was next in line, Finn Balor for Brock Lesnar. So, as Dave talked about on Observer Radio, I'm sure Mike talked about it as well, Vince decided the guy wasn't over enough. And, of course, if you watched how they booked the guy, he got squashed by Kane. He got smashed and laid out the next week, just treated like a geek. And then you're surprised the guy's not over. I mean, we couldn't figure it out the day it happened. It took Vince weeks to figure it out that this isn't working.
And to top it off, to put the period on the end of that sentence, the night before Vince makes this decision, because reportedly it's made on a Monday that he decides, and not like it hasn't been coming, but that's when he decides, I'm going to pull the trigger on this and take Balor out. It's after everybody is made to look like an afterthought during the Survivor Series, which just was a perfect way to end everything and wonder why nobody's over.
Well, one way or the other, WWE did a poll. Who should face Brock Lesnar next? Now, I'm not going to say who ran away with the poll first, but I'll tell you who was in second place. Second place was Braun Strowman. He got 10% of the vote. Bray Wyatt got 3%. Dean Ambrose, everyone's favorite Dean Ambrose, 1%.
Bray Wyatt got 3%.
Yeah, Dean Ambrose got 1%. Dean Ambrose got less than anybody else on this poll, including other.
Bray Wyatt, 3% even. Wow.
Triple H, 4%.
No.
Roman Reigns, 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins, 3%.
Mm-hmm.
Samoa Joe, 6%.
That's it?
So here's the point, everybody. Well, I'll get to the actual point, but the minor point is people want to see big dudes smashing into each other because the two biggest dudes ended up in second and third place, other 4%. In first place, and keep in mind Braun Strowman was at 10%. He's in second place. In first place was Finn Balor at 64%.
Well, how about that?
Now, granted, it's a WWE.com poll. I'm sure Reddit and other places got a hold of it, and there was a lot of voting by smart fans. But still, 64% want to see Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar. So, you know, I guess they have a plan for the Rumble, but plans change. So maybe Finn will get his spot back. Who knows?
Swear that if they do, it's like they will tell the story. It's like they've intentionally do this stuff on purpose just so they have like something that they could air on 24/7 or build a DVD or a video package around with some of the decisions that they make that are just so incredibly ridiculous, such as Finn Balor going on to lose to Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. Like, he wasn't over enough to do that. What a silly decision that is. I mean, just really on paper, how silly is that, where you have Paul Heyman building him up, you have Finn Balor, who has been relatively unscathed in the landscape of WWE stars and how they navigate through everything. He's been pretty much okay, and you think he's not over enough. Why? You want him to be the demon all the time? I mean, what exactly is it? If that's the case, fine. Then make him some sort of creature, but let him go out there and get his shot in a match that he's going to lose anyway. And he's going to make Brock Lesnar look good, coming off the heels of Brock Lesnar looking wonderful against AJ Styles. Why, how there was going to be a loser in that, I don't know. And I know Braun Strowman is great and everything, and I know Triple H is family and all that sort of stuff. But my God, it's not like Finn Balor was going to be the centerpiece of Raw anyway. So why he was denied this, it, to me, is just silly. And you could see by the polling, and granted, I'm sure some people tried to run it up, or some people even did run it up. But I don't think the average WWE fan sees what Vince sees. In fact, I know they don't.
This person here says, bring back Cyber Monday. I think what he's talking about is the old Cyber Sunday pay-per-view, which was originally Taboo Tuesday and then became Cyber Sunday.
Yeah, I think they may have done a Cyber Monday Raw or something like that once they killed the concept.
They might have, but I remember those Cyber Sunday pay-per-views were so wacky. The fans were allegedly able to vote for things, but what they would do is they would say, well, the stipulation for this match, it can be a street fight, a no DQ match, or a no holds barred match.
Yes.
They're all exactly the same, but you, the fans, got to vote for which one you wanted to see. There was one show where I think they voted for, someone will correct me here soon, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was like for the Intercontinental title, and they were going to vote for the opponent or whoever, and I think Jericho won, and as he was going to the ring, or as he was in the ring, they told them, Jericho, you're winning the title, and so they had to improvise a finish, and he ended up winning the championship because of the fans. So usually they weren't that interactive, but they did do a few of those.
Yeah, they got burned with something, which made them load it the way that they did.
Cyber Monday. I don't think we need a Monday pay-per-view.
No.
Why did they do Cyber Monday if Raw was on Monday? I don't even remember this right now.
Because it would have been a Raw. It would have been something that they did, you know, as a gimmick Raw show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
Whatever the Vegas one was called.
I was confused. Cyber Sunday. This guy's text got me all messed up here. This person says, any truth to Seth Rollins' name being tossed around to face Brock so he can beat the Shield? Any truth to Seth Rollins' name being tossed around to face Brock so he can beat the Shield leading up to Roman, and then Roman wins at Mania? So Brock is going to beat Seth, meaning he beat the Shield? Or are you talking like Brock's going to face all three members of the Shield? What's he talking about here? What's this rumor, everybody? I want to hear it. I want to hear the updated rumor about who Brock is facing at the Royal Rumble, because I've heard some things. But Brock beating the entire Shield is not one of those things. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Phone lines open, 844-411-5411. That is 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. So this person says, I have heard that Brock beat Seth at Rumble, then Ambrose at the Chamber, and then Roman wins at Mania, getting the title and a retribution for his Shield brothers. Well, you could do that. You could do that. Then we shall see. The Raw 5-point preview, everybody's favorite, which, by the way, appears to be behind.
Really?
It says right here, this is number one on the 5-point preview. They no longer call the 5-point preview, by the way, but it is. Will Roman Reigns institute an open challenge for his Intercontinental Championship? Says, despite the attempted intervention of Raw Tag Team Champions Cesaro and Sheamus, thwarted masterfully by Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns speared The Miz this past Monday night to claim the Intercontinental title and become a Grand Slam champion, having previously held the Tag Team titles, the U.S. title, and the WWE title. In a WWE.com interview after the win, the Big Dog hinted that an open challenge could be in the cards. Wherever I am, he says, consider it my yard, capitalized. So if you want my title, all you have to do is step up. Told Mike Rome, anybody can get it. Wherever I am, consider it my yard. So anyway, apparently Jason Jordan's already accepted. So somebody needs to update this Raw 5-point preview here. Looks like Roman Reigns, Jason Jordan tonight, which will be interesting because Jason Jordan's clearly going heel. I wonder what kind of reaction Roman Reigns will get in a singles match as the Intercontinental Champion. My guess is a lot of people are going to boo him. So, if their idea is, well, let's get Jason Jordan over and we'll turn him heel tonight on Roman Reigns, it could backfire. So I guess we'll see.
I don't know. I think he might be really hurt, you know. So we'll see what happens, you know. Hopefully he can hold up to the challenge. I know that he, you know, in his heart, with the blood of his father pumping through his veins, that he is going to go out there and give it the college try that he knows that he can, and he's going to go out there and put up the fight that he... Look, he put up a respectable performance against Braun Strowman last week. He was not embarrassed before his injury flared up, and unfortunately, he was unable to continue. So I don't think he's going to go heel tonight against Roman Reigns. I find that to be crazy. I can see his injury flaring up again because he may be rushing things, but he's just trying to make his dad proud. And you see how proud Kurt is? I mean, I don't know. You may be pushing this a little too much. I know how much you dislike Jason Jordan.
What are you talking about? I don't dislike Jason Jordan. I'm pointing out that his gimmick sucks.
I mean, no,
and everyone else gimmick, thinks it's stupid.
It does not. And you know what? Even Booker T, it's almost amazing.
And
it's
his promos are horrible. Can I add that?
He is putting on the most sincere promos I've ever heard in my entire life.
Mike, you're killing me here. Is this what people had to listen to for a week when I was gone?
My God, even Booker T has turned the corner. Did you hear Booker T last week? It's almost like you flipped a switch, like almost like you would think Jason Jordan was going to go heel. By the way, Booker T just all of a sudden started to like him. It was amazing, but in his heart, I think Jason Jordan's a good boy.
The Raw Women's Division is officially on notice during a fatal four-way match to determine Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss's next challenger. Paige returned to WWE after more than a year, with NXT's Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville in tow. The trio laid out Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Mickie James in ruthless fashion. But they did not stop there. When Little Miss Bliss attempted to welcome Paige and her new allies to Team Red, Alexa suffered the same fate as her would-be challengers. What's going on with this preview here today? It's actually not badly written. I mean, it's not written well, but compared to in the past, there's a lot less of this stupid.
So last week's one, which, by the way, I just love how it was like all Triple H the entire time.
Well, anyway, this is boring me, so I'm just going to move on. I expected it to be better.
Why? Really? Did you really?
Yeah, I expected more Monster Among Men and all the other goofiness.
You didn't expect it to be better than you just expected it to be more.
More fun, to me, means
more,
better.
More E, I guess.
I mean, really, listen to this. We had Alexa, Mandy, Sonya, Bayley, Sasha, and Mickey. And the only one that they gave a nickname to was Alexa. Little Miss Bliss. Normally, every single person has to have some stupid nickname.
Trademark, too.
So that's only one out of six.
Well, give them some time here, all right?
They must have hired someone new. They're going to have to break them in.
You know what fun is? Daisuke Sakamoto coming over for WrestleMania weekend.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I was getting some text messages, and we'll go back to the news here. This person says, Finn should ask to go to 205 Live. No, he shouldn't.
No, what?
It's a terrible idea.
I just peaked the microphone, but stop it.
Yeah. This person says, the Intercontinental Open will be a bunch of geeks challenging Roman. Well, it could be, but like I said, If they go by their usual social media deal, the challenge has already been accepted, so everyone else needs to just step aside.
Yeah.
Jason Jordan's getting that shot this week.
Damn right.
A little bit of news here. So we've been talking about the $3.99 special.
Mm-hmm.
I'll plug it in later. I won't kill you now. But New Japan World is a streaming service for New Japan. And NJPWWorld.com.
Ironically enough.
Yep. And you can go on there and watch events if you pay, but they always will give you a free match every week.
Oh yeah.
So if you're not a subscriber, you can go up there and watch one of their matches for free, which they hope will entice you to subscribe. A business model they stole from this radio show, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the free match this week is Minoru Suzuki versus AJ Styles.
Greatest match all time, all my life.
A Wrestling Observer Newsletter Match of the Year Award winner. Which is funny because we interviewed AJ Styles after the match, and I believe it was after that match had won, and we asked him about it, and basically he said that him and Suzuki were very, very surprised. I mean, they didn't think it was a bad match by any means, but they went out there and they just thought they had a really good match. And they didn't think it was anything special. And next thing you know, it's the match of the year. Now, it was very, very special. I voted for it for match of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So head over there and check it out. It's free on NJPWWorld.com. What I'd also like, by the way, if you go watch this match, Dave has claimed, and he's watched a lot of New Japan this year, he has claimed that that match, which won match of the year, I think he said it wouldn't even be in like the top 10 this year.
No, I disagree strongly with that.
I have not gone back to watch it. So if you watch that match anytime over the next week or so, send a text message here and let me know how it holds up. If you think it is as good as everything this year, better, or if in fact there are 10 matches this year better than that one. I want to hear it.
No. The finger. Come on. 10 matches better than that one? That's crazy. Look, That look, and I guess everything is subjective because that match came, you talked about AJ and Minoru being a little bit surprised, came at a time where night after night after night during that G1 that they were having incredible matches all over the place. So, hey, you might have had 10 matches better than that one in that G1 tournament. I just, that is a classic match, which was a classic match. It was a five-star match, classically worked. It was phenomenal. It was absolutely, it was literally phenomenal with AJ Styles in there. And yeah, 10 matches better, I don't know about that, but a classic match all time all my life. And for free, yeah, everybody should actually watch that one. If you are a wrestling fan, you know, I know sometimes it's like, if you have time, try to watch that one. With it being up there for free, I strongly advise you go up and watch that one, even if you don't like Japanese wrestling.
This person here says, so if Roman Reigns is facing Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, is he winning his third Rumble? I don't think so.
They can't do that.
Well, here's the key. There's two world titles. So my guess is that whoever is challenging for the SmackDown title is winning the Rumble. Honestly, I don't even know if Roman Reigns is going to be in the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. I think that somebody else is going to win. Hey, it could be John Cena. If they're
Roman
doing John
the
Cena versus whoever. Or yeah, you could switch it up so they put their title on the line. Or the winner
Roman
of the Rumble
defends the IC title at Royal Rumble, but then he goes into the chamber or somehow he gets the title shot leading into Mania. I think that would make the most sense.
There's a million ways to do it.
Keep him out of the Rumble.
The Rumble winner doesn't even necessarily have to challenge for the title. They've done that before.
Keep that guy the hell out of the Rumble for a long, long time. He's going to get booed in it. That's what people do, especially if the thing's going to be in Philadelphia or any other city that doesn't like Roman, which I don't know other than, like, where has he had a good city? Like, San Antonio, is that a good city for him? I mean, unless he's going to be in a good city, why would you put him in the Royal Rumble where he always gets killed?
This person here says, Jason Jordan accepting the challenge has not been made official by WWE yet. Both TJP and Cedric Alexander accepted via Twitter as well. I don't think they've got a chance. Should I accept via Twitter?
Sure.
He said anybody, right?
Do it. Open challenge. He's scared of you. He doesn't want to shoot with the shooter, especially well-rested. Back learning all those things you learned from Lord James Blair's.
Let's not talk about well-rested.
Why?
Don't.
Oh, that's right. Your daughter and killer Carl Krupp.
Not just that. But,
yeah,
the airport last night, there was like an accident literally right before the arrival area.
Plane ran red or what?
I don't know. I just know that it was hours for us to get picked up yesterday. So I was in a foul, foul mood.
Like, you were stuck outside, you couldn't sit inside, like, you had to
sit outside.
Well,
you could sit inside,
like,
but I don't want to sit inside for 3 hours because
sitting there, like, Jimmy Valiant on the side of the road with, like, a harmonica waiting for Big Mama to pull up and, like, take you guys somewhere.
Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. So, Finn Balor here also accepted Roman Reigns' challenge. He says, I won't just step up, I'll step over.
All caps?
It's like the other day when he was tweeting about Thanksgiving and he said, I am not over cooking the turkey.
I like that.
Yeah.
Cheeky.
He wrote Balor Club forever, but he made sure the O-V-E-R was capitalized. That was another one.
Ever.
And a couple of others as well.
I
haven't figured out these tweets yet. I got to be honest about this. Like, I mean,
because this is all nonsense, and he's getting the shot anyway.
Well, I mean, is he mad at Dave?
Well,
I mean, what's he doing here?
Yeah, maybe he's just.
Dave never said
it.
The guy wasn't over. I never said the guy wasn't over. Nobody ever said the guy wasn't over.
I don't know.
What he said was that Vince apparently doesn't believe he's over enough and decided not to do that match. Who's he getting mad at?
I don't know.
There's one guy you should be mad at, and it's Vince. Not Dave, not me, not you, not anybody. Maybe he's just having fun with it. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But speaking of Twitter, we got more Twitter fun here today. Nia Jax has a tweet up. Did you see this one?
No, this is going to be good, though. I like Nia.
We'll see.
Oh, really? Against Lana?
I'm actually going to read the entire tweet right here.
All right.
It's a picture of her running on the treadmill, a GIF, of her running on the treadmill. She writes here, I am subjected to body shaming, and it is something that I have accepted. It sucks when you get in your own backyard around people you're changing in front of and trust with your body. I'm a healthy, bigger woman. I love my body. Body shaming is wrong. So, I guess, if you want to speculate, which girls in the Raw locker room are body shaming Nia Jax? Because that's pretty much what she's flat out said here without mentioning any names.
Sounds like it.
There's not a lot of women on the Raw. I guess there's more now. Let's find out.
Well, you got Mickie
all that
James,
typing?
Who's... Yeah, I hear. You have Mickie James, who has been subjected to fat shaming by WWE on TV with Lay Cool. So I would hope that it would not be her. Take her out of that.
Okay, here we go. Here's a list.
Go ahead.
Okay. One or more of these women have been body shaming Nia Jax. We've got Alexa Bliss. We have got Alicia Fox, Asuka, Bayley, Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose, Mickie James, Paige, Sasha Banks, or Sonya. My guess is the answer is not Nia Jax body shaming herself. So there you go. That's interesting. Interesting that she would say that publicly. That it's actually women in the WWE locker room that are doing this to her.
Well, and she is, in theory, I guess, close to Alexa. And again, what I said about Mickie, I would like to hope that maybe she would be out of that. But when you put something out there on Twitter like that, it's going to get a reaction. It'll be interesting to see what comes from this, if anything. But not so nice to hear taking place in the locker room where, you know, you want to celebrate a bunch of different characters. My God, it is pro wrestling, for heaven's sakes. And if somebody else, who cares what they look like, as long as they can help make you money and not infringe on what you're doing. And Nia Jax doesn't really do that for anybody on that women's roster. So, silly.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, Brian. Hey, Mike. It's John from Arkansas. You know, I just was thinking, you know, you mentioned the whole deal about the free match of Minoru Suzuki. Am I the only one who thinks that the only two guys left in pro wrestling who just scare the living crap out of you, knowing that they can mess you up at any point in time, are Brock Lesnar and Minoru Suzuki? That they can just, at any whim, just slap you around, just for their own personal mirth and glee.
What about Filthy Tom Lawler?
I saw him.
Oh,
on
yeah,
Saturday.
I forgot about Filthy Tom.
What? You saw Filthy?
Yeah, well, I saw him perform on What's Up. You did not see this on powerbomb.tv, which you could become a member of there. Go to that site. Yes. He wrestled on the What's Up show.
Really? Did you see that, John?
I did not see that. I shall now have to go back and see that. Congratulations to the inimitable Mr. Stokely Hathaway on his outstanding new program.
Man, oh man, he's all over the place. I want to thank you very much for the call. Funny you should mention that, by the way, John. Mm-hmm. It's from Ariel Helwani's show. Jack Swagger, Jake Hager. Swagger says, for the longest time in WWE, I felt like I was literally the toughest guy in the locker room. Yet I would go out there and have two-minute matches with guys that couldn't hold my jock. Is this like 1980 and he's an amateur that just found out what pro wrestling was? He says, it even got to the point where I pitched them. I was like, look, I got something to prove. You guys are a great platform. Let me prove it. Pick the fighter. I'll fight anybody. Put them on your show and I'll fight them. They didn't really want to go down that route, he says. Let's do something different along those lines. I don't know if they just didn't believe in my abilities, but now we're here to show it. He's going to Bellator, by the way. It's crazy. Stuff like that always happens. And it just got pushed to the side, and I was like, all right, well, I'm still here. I'm going to do it. It's a great opportunity. I'm going to take advantage of it. He's talking about going to Bellator. But anyway, so Swagger, I mean, did no one smarten him up to Brawl for All? To Bart Gunn and Butterbean? I mean, I'm sure they could have found a lot of guys that he could have smashed, but that's a big risk to take
Yeah, but he does. He's not thinking of it as that. In one, he's saying it, you know, he knows damn well what the risk could be and why they wouldn't do it. But he can say, because he probably did pitch it, yeah, I'd do this, because he probably is sure of himself that, you know, with he's a big dude. That is a big dude. And if he feels as though he is still the toughest guy going, okay. Now, he was not the toughest guy as a wrestler in college. He was very good at Oklahoma. That is not taking anything away from him. When you're seven in your weight, and you peak and you become an All-American, that means something. But he wasn't even the most dominant guy in his conference, and he wasn't the most dominant guy going. I mean, Cain Velasquez didn't even finish first in that weight, and that's who one of the guys who was ahead of Jake Hager at the time that he was at Oklahoma. He's an older guy. He's a tough guy. There are going to be guys that he's just going to be able to overwhelm with his wrestling ability, but can he take a punch? How quick is he? What's his footwork like? I mean, all of these things, there's so many variables at play where, yeah, is he in a better position than CM Punk? Sure he is. Does that really mean anything? Is he in any of a better position than a Bobby Lashley or anybody else? We'll have to see.
My bigger question is, why is he concerned that he could beat up everybody in the WWE locker room?
Because it makes you feel good about yourself.
But this is ridiculous.
Say on the show.
It's ridiculous.
Something to say on a show, Brian.
It's a performance, buddy.
And usually the toughest guy in the room doesn't have to say that he's the toughest guy in the room. I don't think Filthy walked around, you know, the locker room at the What's Up show saying, yeah,
he sure did. I spent a weekend with him. That's all he was talking about. I'm the toughest guy here, he said. But you know what? I'll do a job. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's because he was touring the Northwest Territories as if he was Frank Gay Gotch back in, like, you know, the early 1900s before he broke national on the scene. And he was with Ben Roller, for God's sake. That's the kind of service that Matt Farmer was providing. So I could see him being a throwback that way. You got to see him. He's got a story for you coming up on the show about his physical capabilities and the amazing thing that he was able to do in that match with MJF.
Dude, I know all about his physical capabilities.
Just wait, though. But I mean, he did. He's got a trick shoulder he needs to tell you
about. Were you there live?
No, I watched it on Powerbomb TV.
Okay, just checking.
Come on, man.
Says, what, it's out of the question that you went to a live wrestling show?
No, it's out of the question that you would know something going on here. I know you're in Hawaii, for heaven's sakes.
No, I don't know what shows you go to. You don't know what shows I go to. Do you know about the luau that I went to?
No, really? Was it like Magnum P.I.?
I didn't go.
Oh.
I was checking to see if you were going to lie.
Did Whitney go?
Yeah, actually.
Did you guys like roast a pig on a spit out there? Where did you stay?
I didn't
you
really, go
like,
to the
do you
luau.
Have a private Ireland or what?
Of course.
Really?
We got to keep moving here. This person says, I think the Nia Jax tweet is just a work to promote Total Divas. Okay, here's what I'm going to say about this. It's possible that they're doing a storyline about this on Total Divas.
If that's the case, it sucks.
But, there definitely was stuff that happened when she was in NXT. And thus, I would not be surprised if there were stuff that was happening in WWE. So, no. whether it's something for whether it's something for the show or not, I mean, there is a story here. That's absolutely true.
Get enough young people out there around themselves, you know, or anybody for that matter of any age, and it can get, you know, catty and nasty sometimes. And maybe that's what happened here. If it's a part of a storyline, though, I don't know if I really like it too much. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see kind of going forward. But it's one of those weird ways where it's like, I don't know if I want to use social media that way. You know, I don't know. We'll have to see.
This person says, grievances like Jack Swagger's are why there should be another Brawl for All. Get out of here. Why do I even read these? We've got a lot of people making guesses about who is body shaming Nia. I'm not going to read them here.
See, this is the problem, though. Now it leads to a bunch of speculation with people dogging out other people's names and trying to come up with reasons why they would be after Nia. So that's where it begins to get toxic.
This person says, with Roman possibly having an open challenge for the Intercontinental title, do you think it'll be used to bring up talent like how Cena did with the U.S. title? Yeah, it sure could. It sure could. This person says, do you think there will be more call-ups before the Rumble? Well,
sure.
I mean,
why
there
not
was
at the Rumble,
there was going to be Drew McIntyre, but
oops,
he's out of action. He did tweet, by the way, that I mean, he didn't really tweet any actual updates. I don't even know if he got surgery. He wrote here, I did suffer an injury during my Title defense, a takeover. I've dealt with setbacks before. The reality is I always come back better. Scary thought for whoever is an NXT champion come 2018. So, I mean, it's pretty clear he's going to be gone for a while. How long is anybody's guess, but, I mean, the whole idea was he was going to be brought up to the main roster sooner rather than later. So, I mean, he's going to be coming up soon. And we'll see. You know what? Here's what I'll say. NXT is taping Wednesday, and we'll see who's there and who's not. Obviously, Itami's coming up. That's already been promoted. The one thing about the NXT tapings, though, is if you recall after the SummerSlam takeover, the Authors of Pain vanished for an entire cycle of tapings. But then they just came back. So it could have been that they were going to be called up and they changed their mind. It could have been any number of things. But my point is, maybe we'll find something out when we get these tapings here, or perhaps people will just read too much into who's there and who's not. It may not have anything to do with anything. If you head up to Twitter right now, at Brian Alvarez, or at WONF4W, you can get information on our Black Friday, our Cyber Monday sale, actually. Black Friday is over. This is it, everybody. This is the last chance to take up this opportunity. A full month of unlimited access, $3.99, WrestlingObserver.com. Over 8,000 radio shows. Every show we've ever done dating back to 2005 is in the archives. You can go back and listen to our coverage of any show since 2005. Any big show, any pay-per-view.
Any big event, any big news happening, too, because, boy, a lot of news has happened since 2005.
Yes, that is almost 13 years worth of shows. Mm. All available to you. Wrestling Observer newsletters, every single issue from 2008 to today, every issue from 91 through, I think, like 2000. I don't know, 98, 99, 2000 now?
You've been here.
Thousands of them. But it's $3.99 today only.
Do it.
Midnight Eastern. So I recommend you head up there, check it out. You will not regret it. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. We're back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. This person here is talking about the firing of Emma and Summer Rae. Says, so WWE fired Emma and Summer, but then called up six girls. Yes, that's why they fired them. Well, I'm sure that's one of the reasons, but, I mean, you got to get rid of people to bring more people up. And actually, the fact that they brought up six women is why there are some women in WWE that are worried, thinking that, man, maybe they're going to cut some more girls here to make room for some of these girls. Usually, call-ups mean cuts. So we'll see what happens. Don't want to see anyone lose their job, but just reality of WWE's business and a finite number of spots on the main roster. So that's the story there. We're out of time today, everybody. We got a lot of stuff coming up over the next couple of days. Tomorrow, the Brian, Vinny, and Craig show returns. Our look at Retro Raw and Nitro from 19 years ago this week. Nitro is hideous. Raw is horrible, except for The Rock, Vince McMahon, Steve Austin, and Mick Foley. We're all awesome. And there's an absolutely horrendous storyline with Undertaker and Steve Austin is ongoing. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Had a Brian and Vinny show on Saturday, the day that Ronnie Garvin won the world title from Ric Flair.
God bless.
If you want to hear that recap, it's up for members right now. And don't forget the Cyber Monday special, a full month, $3.99. All of these shows we're talking about, including commercial-free replays of this show, available for you as a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. From now... until midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, 1 month for $3.99. After that, it's back to normal, and it's going to be for a long time. So do not miss out today. Check it out. Thanks, Mike, as always, especially for the last week. Callers and listeners, everybody in the studio. Talk to you tomorrow, Wrestling Observer Live.